Friday edition. It's Mr. Irrelevant, presented by Door County Distillery. I'm Alex Ruff with you from the Gorilla offices, One Call Atzel Studio at the Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio is here. Hunter Vaughn is here. He is at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Brewers lose game three of the New York Mets. They are out of the MLB playoffs. Whew. Final of 4-3 last night at AmFam Field. I really don't know where to start on it, right? Like, there's nobody to be mad at is the issue I'm having. And I think the issue a lot of us Brewers fans are having. After what we witnessed last night, it's not a Pat Murphy blame game, right? He managed that game pretty much perfectly. When you think about two nights in a row, putting in a pinch hitter that ultimately hits a home run. Last night it was Freddie in the eighth, then you put Devin Williams in for the ninth. But if I tell you, you're going to go into the ninth inning up two runs, and Devin Williams taking the mound, you're taking that deal 110 times out of 100. So there's nobody to be mad at here. Devin Williams obviously played his worst game at the worst moment. I get that. And, you know, obviously the rumor mill now swirling, saying he was tipping his pitches, right? Essentially giving a read on what he'd be throwing. Ultimately, why the Mets succeeded. Could have been nerves. Probably was nerves, given the scenario, right? Biggest game of his career, debatably. You win that game. You're up two runs. You take the mound. Three outs, you're out of here. You're off to Philadelphia. And ultimately, the Mets score four, including Hunter's favorite player with that fourth run, Jesse Winker, who I'm sure we'll get to. But all in all, another really fun season and an unexpected season falls short in the wild card round for the Milwaukee Brewers. No excuses, nobody to be mad at. It's just a tough way to go down as the Brewers fall to the New York Mets. Two games to one. Hunter, I mean, I imagine you've got 800 thoughts on this. I've purposefully not talked to you today because I know you're going to have a lot of reaction. And the cherry on top of the Brewers losing yesterday is your boy Jesse Winker. Scores the final run of the game, smashes his helmet as he crosses home plate. Maybe the biggest D-bag in all of Major League Baseball on the New York Mets, the former Brewer who Hunter actively booed last year, if you weren't with us on Mr. Relevant a year ago at this time. When the Brewers lost to the Diamondbacks in the wild card round last year, Hunter actively booed Jesse Winker, a member of the Brewers at the time. So I imagine you are not feeling so hot about Jesse Winker after this week. And obviously not feeling so hot about the Brewers falling 2-1 to the Mets. The floor is yours.
Yeah, like the Jesse Winker thing, I'm moving past it. Like, I have so many other more important feelings. And like you said, I'm not mad. Like, this...
It's hard to be mad, right? That's just not the right emotion for today.
Exactly. And like, last night was the first time that I, as an adult, cried after my team lost a playoff game. Because my wife was gone for work. She was down in New Orleans. She got back to the hotel from dinner, and she FaceTimed me and right away could see I was just devastated. And she, of course, was like, babe, like, what's up? Like, normally, like, the Cowboys lose or, you know, the Blackhawks lose. Like, I'm just kind of frustrated. I'm upset. But I move on within, like, 20 minutes, a half hour, and then I'm fine. This one, like, it just hurts.
It stung. Yeah, it stung.
And two, like, for me, the Brewers just, like, emotionally mean so much more to me. Like, I would drive my mom over to my grandma's, and we would watch games together. Like, it just means more. And to see them constantly do this, it just hurts, and it makes it worse every time they lose in the playoffs. Yeah. And it just breaks my heart every single time, even worse than the last time they did. I thought that losing the NLCS was going to be the worst feeling ever. These are worse.
I think maybe it's revisionist history. I think it's equally. I mean, it's certainly up there, despite, you know, not only being a wild card loss than a championship loss, but you're a game away from the World Series.
But like, I was so
Trent Grisham unable to field that. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, it was
I have to interject here quickly before we let Hunter continue. Don't police how he's feeling.
I'm not policing how he's feeling.
You said the other ones are worse. He's telling you what he feels is worse.
Yeah.
I think it's a little revisionist history. No, that 2018 one stopped.
I think you're allowed to feel what you want. Go on, Hunter.
Yeah, that 2018 one, I got to be in the clubhouse after a couple of their games as an intern in Milwaukee. Like, I just had fun with that team. And the fact that they made it that far, like, I was just like, this is awesome. This is great. Like, this is the furthest I've gotten to see this team go. Like, they had the one other time they made it to the NLCS. Like, this is great. Now, I'm just like, I just want to see that again. It's almost like how I kind of feel about the Cowboys. Of like, I don't want a Super Bowl. I just want an NFC title game. I just want to see them at least get a game away. Because then anything that happens can happen. And, like, I don't even get that chance. And I was just feeling like this team was so different than the Craig Council teams.
It did. It did
that I was like,
way.
I wanted this one so much more than I realized I did when this series started. And it's just over now. And it just sucks.
It's a tough way to crash and burn, for sure, in the way in which they did it. You know, we've said it a few times already, but we'll just repeat. The situation in which the Brewers entered in the ninth inning last night is the ideal situation. You have a lead, a two-run lead, and you're putting out your all-star closer, your best reliever, and he just has a bad day. But there are no regrets for putting him in that situation. There are no regrets for Pat Murphy making the decisions he made, because they were the right decisions. Ultimately, it fell short yesterday. Joshy.
What makes this all worse is there's no one you can really point to anger at, which anger isn't necessarily the best way to deal with emotions. But
that's true.
Most times you lose, you have the, why the hell did XYZ do this? Or what was that? Like, Devin Williams just got beat. I'm not mad at him. I'm actually a little heartbroken for the guy, the way he was post-game. Like, the guy's been one of the best relievers in baseball.
I feel for him.
Like, I guess you could try and go back to game one and get mad about that fielding opportunity. But I'm past that. You got the big win.
You got the win. You got it to a situation in which you win and you go, you lose and you're out.
The fact it was so improbable, I read the stat, it was 3-82 teams are in elimination games while down multiple runs entering. Like, it's so improbable. It's so unlikely. And you just watched it all happen right in front of you.
Yeah.
It's like, I've been here for some brutal losses in front of microphones. This is the one by far that everyone I've talked to and everyone I've read, whether it be the talk or text line or YouTube chat, it's just like overall bummed. Everybody's just in a place of like sadness. And depression.
Totally. And, you know, like, I think of the other bad losses in recent memory. I mean, my head immediately goes to the 2020 NFC Championship game against the Buccaneers. But the part with coping with that one is you at least have some direction to point the blame, right? You can at least go, hey, this is why we lost.
Uh-huh.
You don't really have that from last night.
No.
Devin Williams certainly did not have his best inning, but you didn't respond in the bottom of the ninth. Sal did. That's it, right? I mean, it's just tough. And, you know, I will say, as a Sal Frelick, you know, super fan on this program, he was terrific this series, both offensively and defensively. He was awesome. And he stepped up. Other guys didn't that are making big bucks, right? I mean, you didn't see the bat of Contreras much this series. You didn't see the bat of Rhys Hoskins much this series. But that's a series-long thing, not just the one. I mean, obviously, it applies in the one game. But you were in a position to overcome that and get a fresh start on Saturday against the Phillies. And ultimately, you crash and burn in the ninth inning. And to your point, Joshy, right? 3-82, teams down multiple runs entering the ninth inning in an elimination game. Wisconsin sports teams are amazing at finding new ways to lose. Creative ways to lose. Heartbreaking ways to lose. It's what we're best at. The Packers, the Bucks, the Brewers, the Badgers, Marquette, all of the above. We are so damn good at finding heartbreaking ways to lose. It seems like we do this, you know, carousel 3 times a year minimum of losing games we should have won. And this one feels like it's close to the top of the list for me in terms of, as a sports fan, heartbreaking moments. I didn't know whether or not the Brewers were going to win the World Series. I didn't know whether or not the Brewers were going to get past the Phillies and make the NLCS. But I know they're a damn good team. And I know they're a damn fun team. And they were unbelievable all year at responding to adversity. Backs up against the wall, this team responded all year long. Think about it for a minute. Before the season started, you lose your hometown hero, long-term manager, and Craig Counsell to your arch-rival Chicago Cubs. That's the first kick in the privates. And then you just run through the year, right? Woodruff out for the year. You trade Corbin Burns to the Orioles. You know, you have other guys that come in that you think are going to be superstars, right? Robert Gasser, for example, the pitcher, starts terrifically in his rookie season, goes down with a season-ending injury. Uribe goes down with a season-ending injury. Hey, how about that outfielder by the name of Christian Yelich? Yeah, former MVP, back to all-star form, was an all-star starter. What happens at the end of July, shortly after the all-star break? Oh, season-ending back operation. Up-teen different guys that recorded saves. They found so many creative ways to win ball games. They're pulling plays out of the Little League World Series to win ball games in August and September. They're in first place. They were picked to take last in the NL Central. They were in first place pretty much the entirety of the season. They're young, up-and-coming, rookies, second-year players. And they just kept finding ways to win. And unfortunately, last night, they couldn't find a way to win in the bottom of the ninth inning. It was a team that had the lead, from the seventh on. You have the most improbable way to take the lead, might I add. Jake Bowers in a pinch-hitting situation. And then Salvatore, my guy, somebody who had not hit a home run since May 15th. It was still spring the last time Sal Frelick hit a home run. He waited until fall to hit his next one. Back-to-back from Bowers. Just improbable, improbable. They build this up. We're three outs away, two outs away, and then all hell breaks loose. It's what Wisconsin sports teams are best at, finding a way to break our hearts in unique fashion. Hunter, go ahead.
I think the only thing that I'm coming close to being frustrated about from the game was Contreras shouldn't have been pinch hitting even. He was clearly not okay. It didn't look comfortable when he was in the box. He was even more uncomfortable trying to run to first. That should have been Garrett Mitchell as the DH or somebody else. I mean, Monasterio, anybody else, I think would have been more productive and would have at least brought the added element of base running that this team is so good at and that level of speed. That's the only one part of it where I'm like, Pat Murphy, I don't know what you were doing. I think he listened too much to the player and Contreras that obviously wanted to be out there. And I think he needed to just be like, no, we're not going to do this. We need 100% guys out in that lineup throughout the lineup.
That's just the age-old debate there. Is a 75% Contreras better than 100% Monasterio? I could argue that is yes. I think in those situations, this often gets
except
brought
up. We literally saw it last night that it was a no.
Yeah, well, that's called playing the result. Yes, yeah, that's successfully but, what would happen there. There's no saying the guy who replaced him would have done better. Like, that's not how baseball works. What I'm saying is, when this is like to draw an analogy here, when you're talking even like fantasy football, would you rather go out your horses or go out trying to get fancy? Would you rather bench a guy like Davante Adams in a potential big spot because you don't like the matchup? Or would you rather have Ray McLeod, name any random guy out there, and hope that they overperform? Like, I'm not going to fault a guy, Pat Murphy, who made every right call. You have to trust your player at that point. Maybe you pull him earlier if you're not convinced in what you saw. But, like, I mean, to get two guys in back-to-back games that hit pinch-hit home runs, like, that was a perfectly... You can't ask for anything better. Like, you got to go on your horses. Contreras has been the guy.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I think you're both right. We can do revisionist history. We can go hindsight as 2020. I'm probably leaning Team Joshy on this one. He's an all-star, right? Like, he's the best catcher in baseball, obviously. It was more about the offensive side last night. But you ride the hot hand, even if he hasn't been so hot in the series. Would have liked to see Garrett Mitchell last night. But what do you do? We okay?
No.
Hunter?
No. I honestly, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get over this one for a long time. Uh-huh. This was the worst.
Yeah, it was up there.
What if if we were to go through the stages of grief, what point are we at?
Okay, so in order it goes denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. I think I'm at depression.
Yeah. Pretty much skipped everything and went right into depression.
I was just saying,
I don't know if we went in that order, right?
Yeah, I don't think I ever hit anger, to be quite honest.
Denial was the bottom of the ninth inning.
I got anger at David Kaplan, but that's not really the situation.
Yeah, I'm not bringing that up on this show. He doesn't deserve my airtime. Denial was the bottom of the ninth inning, right? Oh, they'll find a way. They'll find a way. Sal gets on base. Oh, they're going to find a way. Just get to Churio. Turang grounds into a double play to end the game before we get the Churio. So that was denial. Anger, I don't know that I ever really felt it. I was like, I'm angry talking about it, but I'm not angry at anybody.
No.
Yeah.
Bargaining, is that the Hunter going, hey, if they would have played Garrett Mitchell instead of William, I should say.
I don't know. Does that qualify as bargaining?
Yeah, I don't really know.
Qualifies. Okay, I'm starting to understand that none of us know what the five stages of grief are or how they work.
I
just don't know what bargaining is.
That one leaves me because you're kind of like consider.
It's reflecting on your actions typically in the normal version of the five stages of grief. So it is reflecting on the Brewers' actions. And if this would have happened, then this would have been the outcome as bargaining.
This is an impossible question. And I should have thought of it earlier. Do we remember, when was the last time Wisconsin's sports team were on the opposite end of like the absolutely improbable?
Kevin Durant's shoe. It's Kevin Durant's big toe.
That feels different to me. I don't know why. It feels like just
that's exactly
one of those
what do you
things.
Mean?
Like I'm talking like incredible comeback. Like that was like just kind of luck right there. Like,
yeah, but if his foot is 6 inches behind where it was,
more like a quarter of an inch.
We don't have a Larry O'Brien.
Agreed, but I'm trying to say like the incredible comeback, the improbable story. Was that game a comeback that I'm forgetting? Well, or did they kind of have a lead? That's the thing I'm going for
is
the way, obviously, we all think about the Seahawks game. We all think about this one, like where you let a lead walk away or you let the team that's facing you do the absolutely improbable. Yeah. That's the thing I'm thinking of.
What about the Valley Oop? They were down in that game, weren't they?
Well, plus Giannis missed those games against Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then they still won.
I guess that qualifies.
That'd probably be it. They were down in the series, too, to the Nets. So, like, I think that whole run had small moments. They just didn't have the, 28 to, they didn't have, like, a big comeback game in it to really, like, have that one moment. It was just a bunch of small moments that did it.
Yeah. Yeah, we will see. I mean, this offseason is going to be big in terms of deciding, what this team will be next year, right? Willie Adames likely going to go elsewhere, get a big contract elsewhere would be my guess. Who's playing first base next year is going to be a big question. Rhys Hoskins was a one-year deal.
Jake Bowers.
Everyday guy?
He might have to be until somebody pops up for trade, and then you can use Bowers kind of as a utility guy.
You keep Bryce as your second baseman, or you move him to shortstop?
Is that Ortiz's spot?
Oh, yeah.
Could be.
Seems like Ortiz's spot.
You think he flexes over to short, and then you bring up a third baseman?
I think he's a natural-born shortstop.
Gotcha.
I think that's part of what he was. Yeah, I mean, that seems like the move.
He's good at third, though. I mean, he's a good third baseman.
I think he's just very good defensively, like overall, and I think you put him anywhere out there.
I mean, you plug Bryce and Joey in the middle of your infield.
Yeah, that's a great core to have.
It sure is. I mean, Bryce Tarang, a likely, if not gold, platinum glove winner this season.
I think the moral of the story is they just need another infielder, whether that's third or first, whatever it is. That'll be the spot that they've really got to try and find somebody at. too bad if Yelich is back. Like, he could have just slid over to first there in that COVID season, and then it'd be fine. But they just got to find somebody, because outfield's fine. I mean, the pitching staff should be even better, because you're going to have Woodruff back. You'll have Colin Ray, Peralta.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great starting rotation.
Yeah. Gasser will be back. Woody, as you mentioned, will be back. Yep. I mean, that's going to be a good rotation.
Gabe
for sure.
Gabe did it on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. There is plenty of optimism to be had here. I'm not quite there.
I'm not ready yet.
To be there. But this team and organization has a really good chance and a chance that I think a lot of teams would be begging for, with Jackson Chourio as the lead guy there. And then there's all sorts of young guys. You don't know who's going to end up growing. Baseball players grow at different times of their career, some much later than others. And some of these guys might end up being stars themselves. Right now it's like kind of like a pick your poison. There's about six guys that you could tell yourself the story of. This guy's like an all-star.
Yeah, but here's the issue. And I'm with you, right? There is plenty of room for optimism. And, you know, when you look at guys like Bryce Terang and Sal Frea, like these second-year guys, another year or another offseason, like, they can legitimately make quite a leap next year. And Bryce, I feel like he made it this year.
Oh, yeah.
He can make another one. Chourio, is he going to get better? I mean, how damn good was he this year?
It's hard to imagine a 20-year-old not getting better.
Right, right. I mean, so you've got plenty of reason for optimism, but here's the issue I have with it. And it's because we're talking about it today is the issue I have with it. 162 games is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The baseball season is a frickin' grind. And to build yourself up the way I know all three of us did this year, right? When I moved to Milwaukee in April, I made it a goal to go to as many baseball games as I could, as many Brewers games as I could. I watched more baseball this year than I ever have. I mean, that's it's hands down, and it's not close. I fully bought in on this Brewers team. I mean, Hunter, we've tried to talk about him almost every episode for the last several months. They were a really fun team this year. And, you know, it pains me that it's just over like that. In a game where you really thought you were going to win. I imagine I'm not the only one who was kind of counting my chickens before they hatched, right? Devin Williams was coming to the mound. You were three outs away, then all of a sudden two outs away, and you have a two-run lead. I thought it was over.
I was literally forming a text to my wife about buying tickets for an NLDS game. Like, that's where I was at in that ninth inning.
Yeah, and then you get a couple on, you walk a guy, you get one more on, you got runners on first and third with one out. And Pete Alonso smashes it out. Tough way to go down, man. It's a really tough one. It's a tough pill to swallow. But the Brewers lose 4-2 in game three. Their season is over. Whew. We'll probably come back to the Brewers, I imagine, before the show's over today. What are you laughing at?
It's just, I've now done, this is 2.5 hours of Brewers talk. And I'm laughing because I haven't felt better at any point.
No, I mean, so for the record, 2.5 hours of Brewers talk with me.
Yes.
As I filled in on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with Gabe Neitzel this morning and Joshy, of course. So the three of us, me, Gabe, and Josh, you know, we spent all 2 hours of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy and the Brewers loss, outside of maybe 5 minutes with Jason Wilde, where we previewed a little bit of Packers Rams. When I've been off the air, I've talked a little bit about the Brewers. Because everybody in this office is deflated. Oh, Josh, yeah. I don't think you've gone upstairs yet. So for those of you, I imagine most of you not in the know, the way our building here at the Avenue works is, so the first floor, which is the ground level floor, which is what we are on right now, is where our studios are. So our studio, 101.7 The Truth and 620 WTMJ's studio, our sister stations, are all on the ground floor. And then up on the second floor is essentially the desks, the workspaces. So sales, marketing, you know, our executive office is upstairs. So we have about, not today, a lot of people are off because it's a Friday, but I would say give or take 40 to 50 people upstairs, a lot of which are big Brewers fans. And I was just talking to, before the show a little bit ago, I was talking to Kerry Mahone, Noni Juice, who is the in-stadium MC for the Milwaukee Brewers. And she goes, yeah, that sucked. And I go, so what'd you say to the crowd at the end of the game? I asked her. She goes, good news, Alex. We don't say anything at the end of the game. And I go, well, if you had to, what would you say? And she goes, I don't know, maybe see you next year. It's like, yeah, that's a fair point. I don't know what you say in that moment. Because, again, and I brought this up on Gin Game and Chewy, it's not like this game was 6-0 Mets from the second inning. I think we're feeling a hell of a lot differently today if it was 6-0 Mets and they scored six of those runs before the fourth inning. Right? The sausage races happen. The 50-50 raffles pulled. You do the seventh inning stretch, and the Brewers are down 6-0. You're like, oh, man, it might be over. The Brewers led until, like, the final moment where they couldn't. You know, and that's what makes this so painful. They got down to two outs away from advancing to the NLDS. Two outs. So it's not like the Mets were leading this whole game. Mets fans were feeling what we ended up feeling for the first seven innings. They couldn't hit a baseball. Tobias Myers was money. Five innings, five strikeouts, just a couple of hits. The Mets couldn't get anything going. And then the Brewers get something going in the seventh, back-to-back home runs. And I bet Mets fans are deflated. They think it's over. And then all of a sudden, it just flips. Brutal, brutal, brutal. You're right, Josh. I don't feel any better. Not even a little bit better.
I think the only way I'm going to feel better is like the next sporting event I'm invested in.
Which is the Packers-Rams, I assume, Sunday. Yeah.
So we've got, not great at math here, but we got a ways to go.
We got more than 48 hours.
got a lot of time.
48 hours from now, Green Bay game day will be on the air. I wonder what shape I'll be in then. I'll probably find a way to sneak in Brewers talk with John Anderson and Brian Bulaga on Sunday. Because I'm still not going to be over it. Brutal. I don't know. I think Josh just quit the show. Took the headphones off. I think he's leaving.
Yeah, I got to record starter pack. I got to talk about the Packers. I don't know how I'm going to do it.
Good luck. All right, there you go. Joshy's calling it a day. That's a walk-off. Something the Brewers didn't have in their tank last night. Something I had in my tank last night, though, of course, Door County Distillery. Locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. I say football season's whiskey season. Maybe you think it's fall. It's brandy season. Maybe you like your gin. Maybe you like your rum. Maybe you like your vodka. Good news is Door County Distillery has it covered, unlike Milwaukee on first base in week one. Door County Distillery's got you covered. DoorCountyDistillery.com is the website. You can also scan the QR code on the YouTube stream to take you to a huge list of unique cocktail recipes, which includes some, if not multiple, of everything I just listed off, whether it's the gin, the vodka, the rum, the brandies, apple brandy, cherry brandy with Door County cherries, or any of their delicious whiskeys, the 27-time gold medal award-winning single malt whiskey, the rye whiskey, or my personal favorite, the bourbon. Door County Distillery, available all over the state of Wisconsin. Check out your local retailer or head online, DoorCountyDistillery.com. Let's step aside when we come back. We will talk Packers-Rams. We will talk Jordan Love. We will take a look at the underdog, fantasy.com underdog app for this weekend's picks, and we will play a little what we learned. That is all still ahead. It's Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Strofe.
Where in the world is Door County Distillery today? It brings me to Sugar River Pizza, the legendary in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Let's go to the bar. Let's see what they've got. We're here in the beautiful bar at Sugar River Pizza in Sun Prairie. My guy Kyle just mixed me up a cherry brandy old fashioned with the cherry brandy from Door County Distillery. It's delicious. I tell you it all the time. It's proven it right here. The best.
I'll tell you when Kyle can make a cocktail.
All right, power ranking. Top three drinks to have from Door County Distillery. We're going 3-1. Number three, it's a split decision, but they're both on the rocks. Either the 27-time gold medal award-winning single malt whiskey or my personal favorite, the bourbon, right on the rocks. Nice Sunday night, end the weekend. I love it. That's number three. Number two, the Cherry Cosmo with that green bottle of gin. That thing tastes like summer. It's unbelievable. It's delicious. You got to try it. Check out the recipe. DoorCountyDistillery.com. Number one, it's in my left hand right now with the cherry brandy made with local Door County cherries, the cherry brandy old fashioned. That's my list, but there's no wrong answers. You got to find out for yourself. DoorCountyDistillery.com. Let me know what you think in the comments below.
DoorCountyDistillery.com is the website. Let's talk Packers-Rams because I view it as this now. My thoughts on this have evolved given last night's happenings. This isn't only a get-right game for the Green Bay Packers. This is a get-right game for Wisconsin sports fans. I want to know what winning feels like again because I rode that high on Wednesday night of game two, which I was at, and I had an absolute blast at when the Brewers won. Now you're riding the lowest of lows following last night's collapse. I need to know what winning feels like again, because I am distraught and depressed and upset and disappointed with what happened with the Brewers yesterday. I need to know what winning feels like. So obviously the Packers at 2-2 need a win in terms of to stay within the division race, as the Vikings are undefeated. The Lions are 3-1 as they enter their bye week. You need a win. Got to keep pace with those two other teams. But aside from that, Jordan Love is 0-2, and wins are not a quarterback stat, or losses are not really a quarterback stat, but Jordan Love has not won a game yet this year. So getting that under his belt, getting some confidence back for him as he returns from the MCL sprain is huge. And I just think, you know, this defense needs a game for the first time since Tennessee, right, which was 2 weeks ago, where they just walk away feeling good about their performance, because you don't after last week against Minnesota. The pass rush was non-existent. Xavier McKinney had an interception, which he's had in every game this year. But other than that, I don't know how good you feel about how that defense played recently. So they need a get-right game. The offense needs a get-right game. And Jordan Love needs a get-right game. Three interceptions last week is no bueno for the Packers quarterback Jordan Love. So there are a ton of reasons why the Packers need to go to L.A. and get one done this weekend. And I think they will. I think they win, right? The Rams are beat up. McVay's a good coach. Stafford's a good quarterback. But that's not to say he's not prone to throwing interceptions. That's not to say, you know, he's going to dice up this defense who had some troubles against Sam Darnold a week ago. I don't think any of that's true. I respect Sam or Matt Stafford. I think he'll have a couple of really nice plays because he's a really good quarterback. But in my mind right now as it stands, and Hunter, correct me if you're feeling differently, I just don't see a way in which the Packers lose this weekend. I just feel like they're the better team, and this is a game where I think internally they know they've got to just go get the job done on the road on Sunday.
Yeah, the only path that I see for the Rams here is if they somehow force more turnovers and give themselves short fields and convert those to touchdowns. Because, like, I just don't see this Rams offense without Puka and without Cooper Kupp to be able to drive down the field against the Packers consistently in order to actually get touchdowns. So, like, they're going to have a lot, force a lot of turnovers and somehow not turn the ball over themselves. And that's so hard to ask a team to do if that's your path to beating someone.
Yeah, you're right on that. I mean, the other thing with the Rams, too, right, if they establish the run game really well and early and they get ahead early, and to your point, right, then start forcing turnovers defensively. But it just doesn't feel like a losable game for the Packers, given the scenario, given the setup, given where they're going, given the fact the crowd will be similar to Tennessee, in which it is technically a road game, but it feels like a home crowd. Like, everything's going to be working in their favor. Jordan Love has been a full go all week of practice, which is a great sign. You know, he's good to shine. He's good to go. So this just feels like a get-right game and a get-right opportunity for Green Bay as they play the Rams. But it's just so secondary today, this game. You know, I wanted to talk Jordan Love and how he was in his return and what he's talked about this week. I don't think I want to do that. I like the aesthetic of our video stream, headline number one being heartbreak, headline number four being love. But I just don't have the juice nor the energy to really preview this game a whole lot more than that. It feels like a get-right game. It feels like a Packers win. And it feels like an opportunity for the defense to get its feet back under them. That's my analysis. That's all I got. I can't think about anything but the Brewers. That was so heartbreaking. Like, one of the more crushing losses of any sport, of any team that I root for, that I've been a part of. It was the extreme fashion in which it happened. The game it reminded me of, frankly, was the 2014 NFC Championship game between the Packers and the Seahawks. That's the onside kick game. It felt like that, right? You have the game in the bag. You don't deliver where you need to. And then it all comes crashing down from there. You know, Devin Williams allowing that Pete Alonso home run was kind of Brandon Bostic putting the ball off his helmet on an onside kick. That's what it felt like. That's the game it most felt like. I walked away, And I was out on the town last night. I was on 3rd Street in Milwaukee at a local tavern, bellied up to the bar, watching this game with a couple of friends. And I just didn't see it coming. A couple of comments I want to get to them on the ESPN Madison YouTube chat today. David said, I feel you guys. Definitely hurts 1,000% this loss. I said this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, 2018 NLCS was worse than this, but it's just a matter of opinion. Mad City Brew says, I'm with you, Strofe. Two outs to go from advancing is tough. Sure, it's Jacob, my guy. You see him on TV in lacrosse. Jacob Lenzendorf says, got to be one of the more crushing defeats we've experienced as Wisconsin sports fans, and we have had our fair share. Yeah, look, I don't believe in curses, right? Like, I don't think Wisconsin's cursed. But it is really amazing to me how the Packers, the Brewers, and the Bucks, specifically those three, have found so many creative ways to lose in the biggest moments. It's fascinating to me that it seems almost every postseason loss, they are finding unique ways to blow a lead or to go down swinging. And it's every single time. And last night had to be the most outrageous of them all. I mean, it's right up there with the 2014 NFC Championship game where you have a 2-run lead, you bring in one of the best relievers and not only on your team, in all of baseball, one of the best relievers in all of baseball, and he can't slam the door shut. And the Mets find a way to advance.
So you don't think that there was any weird black magic that had to happen because after Giannis's knee like bent backwards in the playoffs and he still found a way to come back and play? Like, you don't think there was some weird deal that was made? They're like, okay, the sports gods, we're going to give you this one.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to suffer for it.
Hey, that's the first time I've laughed all day. It's clever. I'll give you that. It's a clever idea. It is a clever theory. You know me, Hunter. I'm all in for a good conspiracy theory. But no, I do not think there was any black magic happening when Giannis returned. Yeah. I think he's just superhuman.
Yeah, I know.
I know you're joking. Yeah. But
I was going to say, for me as a sports fan, like, I've been trying to think back because, like, I've had a lot of heartbreaking losses given being a Cowboys fan. This one is right up there with the Dez caught it game for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm going to be honest, of all of the Packers-Cowboys matchups that we've had, that game felt like the Cowboys are going to do this. Like, they're going to go into Lambeau. They're going to get it. I know it was Aaron Rodgers, and there still would have been like 2 minutes left once DeMarco Murray would have run it in for a touchdown there. But it felt like it was going to happen. And then to have that call overturned, like, I was devastated for days. And this one, like, luckily I'm going to the Badger football game on Saturday, so I can just get rid of my sorrows that way. But, man, I don't know how I'm going to get over this.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do want to talk some Badgers at some point. We'll probably save that for what we learned. And we'll talk Chez Malusi in a little bit about this game coming up against Purdue tomorrow. It's an 11 a.m. kickoff at Camp Randall Stadium. Badgers 12.5-point favorites against Purdue tomorrow, who's luckily one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. Speaking of bounce back game and get right game, the Badgers desperately need one.
Helps that Purdue fired their OC too. So
it does, but
they're in a much worse spot than the Badgers are.
I guess I won't argue with that.
I think this will be a 3-touchdown win. Where things are going to be okay. That'll be a good teaser then for Sunday for the Packers. Like, it's going to be okay. I know it doesn't feel like it right now. And it's crazy that the doomsday fan on this show is the one saying this.
Yeah, what's going on?
Like,
here?
We're gonna be okay. I don't know when it's going to happen, but the Brewers are going to win a World Series at some point. It will happen. The Packers, as much as this sucks for me to say too, they're gonna win a Super Bowl again. It's going to happen.
Wow.
Like, we got to get through this pain right now. We've got to go through this. Because then it will just mean so much more when it finally does happen.
Wow. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just didn't see that coming from you.
I'm growing. I'm evolving.
Yeah, this is that. No, I'm actually worried about you now. Given the traumatic event that we witnessed last night, for you to talk like that? I'm worried about you.
I'm just, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. What? Do you really want me to sit here and complain about Jesse Winker, that bum that goes six pitches and two at-bats last year in the playoffs, and then he's shocked that he's getting booed at AmFam Field, so he has to slam down his helmet like
this
he's,
is,
like,
this is what I was expecting. This is what I was expecting.
I'm trying to grow here, but fine, this is what you wanted. Like, great, Jesse. Congratulations. You won a playoff game. You finally showed up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Your trash ass was hitting 215 all year. You finally get two hits, and oh, man, now I'm a superstar. Now I'm going to be loud.
Yeah.
Like, get out of here.
No,
he's such a bum.
He is. He is. I'm with you on that. Oh, man. That's good. I was laughing so hard. I was crying, and then an eyelash fell out, so I'm dealing with a right eye issue right now. I'm probable to continue. Let's take a look at our underdog picks for the weekend. Underdog app, underdogfantasy.com. You play the pick'em game. You just look at players' projections. You pick higher or lower on players' projections on the underdog app or underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up, you got to use the promo code GOODKARMA because it unlocks great opportunity for you. The first opportunity it will unlock for you by using the promo code GOODKARMA, all one word, GOODKARMA, Good Karma at sign up on the Underdog app or underdogfantasy.com. You will get up to $1,000 match on your initial deposit. So when you deposit money into the Underdog app or underdogfantasy.com, they'll match your deposit with up to $1,000 in bonus cash. You put $50 in, you get $50. You're up to $100. That's fantastic. Up to $1,000. You put $999 in, you get $999 in bonus cash. And then all you can do, you go into the pick'em game. I play football. I tried a little bit with baseball. It didn't work out this week. Also because I was being biased towards my Milwaukee boys. But I've had a really good football season, though. We've been giving out winners on this show. And I do have my picks in for Packers-Rams. I have Jordan Love higher than 22 completions. I think he'll be higher than 22. I don't think much higher because I do think the Packers will lead this game throughout, but I think he will complete more than 22 passes. I have him higher than 22 completions. I have Matthew Stafford higher than half of an interception. Does Xavier McKinney get another one? Well, I'll find out together. I say yes. Matthew Stafford higher than 0.5 interceptions. And then wide receiver one, Jaden Reed higher than half of a rush or receiving touchdown. So that's Jordan Love higher, 22 completions. Matthew Stafford higher, half of an interception. Jaden Reed higher than half of a rushing or receiving touchdown. That will give you 5.4 times your money. $20 to win $108 on the Underdog app or underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code GOODKARMA at sign up. All right, let's give some final thoughts here on what we learned. Because I do want to start with this, Hunter. And I was going to use this as the what we learned. It just didn't feel right given the Brewer stuff. But we're taking a big breath. I'm sure we'll have some more Brewers thoughts before we wrap up, but let's do what we learn now. What we learn is Ches Malusi's collegiate football career is over. Ches Malusi has stepped away from the Wisconsin Badgers program for the third straight year, dealing with some injuries. And he probably, I mean, it's a mental game. He probably just wants to rehab elsewhere, knowing, you know, the season's over, his career's over collegiately. And it sucks because he's such a great guy, you know, and he's a good running back when he's healthy. He just can't catch a break in that department, which sucks. So Ches Malusi is no longer a member and will no longer be with the program. The program did release a statement saying they have, or he has their full support. I mean, it's not like they broke up on bad terms. It's not an NIL deal. It's injury related and he's out of eligibility. So he's going to step away, focus on his academics, and focus on rehabbing, which stinks because he's when he's healthy, he's an awesome player. He's an awesome dude. He's a great leader for this football team. But it's a decision he had to make, and he made it. So that's that. But Hunter, I'm curious from your perspective as the biggest Badgers fan on the panel, Badgers football fan, I should say. What do you make of this? I mean, this is a news story coming out after the bye week that's just kind of deflating, given you know the leadership mentality and leadership role Ches Malusi played on this team.
Yeah, and it's like I think there's two levels to it. Like there's the the just Chez specific side, like he just could not catch a break when it came to these injuries. And it wasn't like he was just like wearing down. Like the dude broke his leg against Purdue last year. Like it was just bad luck things that don't normally happen. And there's no real way to prevent it from happening. So it's just like what could have been for him, because when he was right, he was really good and really explosive. The other side then for this team, like they've, if this happened last year, I would have been very, very concerned with the locker room because Chez was a leader for this team. I feel better about the team now if he's stepping away, because I feel better about some of the leaders that they have on the team right now and some of the veteran guys that can still, if things start to go south here against Purdue at some point in the game, can help rally the team and get them going again. But that's still like you lose a big loud voice in that locker room. It's going to be tough when they start to see even more adversity than they've already seen this year.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's a get-right game tomorrow. Purdue's bad, as you mentioned. Fired their offensive coordinator. I like Ryan Walters, their head coach, but only in year two, as is Luke Fickell, trying to rebuild that program. I'm curious to see what that game looks like. I mentioned the Badgers, I think 15.5-point favorites, I said. Or is it 12.5? Now I got to look. I don't remember what I said.
It's moved a little bit this
it
week.
Has.
It's been kind of going
has.
Back and forth.
12.5, it's down to. Ooh. Can the Badgers win by 2 touchdowns? Sure. I mean, Tywee Walker's a really good running back. We'll see what everybody's capable of. But, I mean, when you look at the depth chart from week one, Tyler Van Dyke at quarterback, Chez Malusi at running back, neither of those guys are available. And now it's Braden Locke and Tywee Walker. So that offense is already dealing with a ton of adversity, and they're only through a few games, 2-2.
I do think that this could be a really big game for Locke, just given the fact that like last year when he came in and he played against, he comes in, he plays against Ohio State, he plays against Illinois, but he knew he was the stopgap for Tanner Mordecai to come back. Now he's the guy unless things really fall apart. Like it's his job. Because then if things fall apart, then they're obviously going to, in the last four games, go to Mabry Matoyer and see what he can do as a freshman quarterback, but they want to reserve his red shirt. So, like, he knows that he is the quarterback for the Wisconsin Badgers right now, and I think that's a level of confidence that he can have for himself of, okay, I had 2 weeks to go into USC. Now I've got a week to see what I did there and build upon it for the next week because I know that I'm starting against Purdue. And it isn't a like, oh, is somebody going to be ready to go and be healthy to take the spot over? I'm expecting a big game from him. As we talked about earlier this week with the guys from the Damn Sports Show, I'm not great with predictions, so we'll see. Like I predicted game two to be a like small ball game, and all it was home runs, so what do I know?
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. Badgers, Packers, Brewers, we covered it all. Hunter, I do have another what we learned.
Oh, so I do too.
I will let you go ahead.
Okay. Mine is not at all sports related.
I like that. I'm okay with that.
So there was a saying that there used to be that the sun never sets on the British Empire, meaning that the land across the globe, there was always somewhere that the sun was shining on British territory.
Yep.
Depending on when the British Empire now or England gives up some land that they had in the Indian Ocean and a couple of islands, there will actually be a point in our history where the sun won't shine on the British Empire. And that'll be March 21st of 2025, given the length of the daytime, that will finally, after almost 300 years, no longer be true.
Wow.
So I was fascinated by that.
What day of the week is that? What's the date on that you said?
Friday, the 21st of March. So,
wow. We have a show that day.
Yeah. Oh, that might be a big deal.
Well, that's going to be the week of the NCAA tournament, I would imagine, as well.
This is more important.
I mean, yeah. We'll be watching college hoops and talking about the sun never sets on the British Empire?
Yes. And the sun actually setting potentially that day on the British Empire.
Unbelievable. Good stuff there. I'm going to go back to the sports world, but I just want to tell you something that I think is a brilliant idea, and I think maybe we should do on the show. So Mike Gundy, the head coach of Oklahoma State, does a weekly radio show, as a lot of coaches do in collegiate sports. Did you know where – did you read this article, Hunter?
No, I have no idea where you're going with this.
Okay, so he does it – you know, we call them remote broadcasts in our business, right? When you're out at somewhere, that's not the studio. So his remote broadcast is done at Legacy Village, which is a retirement home.
That's incredible.
And it has sparked new life, he said. He said it's by far the best atmosphere they've ever done the show in. So they do the weekly radio show in a retirement home, and it's all like these people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s that are all huge Oklahoma State fans, and they fill out the ball, like this giant ballroom in said retirement home for the Mike Gundy radio show. And I guess, like, in terms of the radio show, it's the best questions he said he's ever got. Quote, "This is by far the best setting we've ever done this from. I love it," end quote, from Mike Gundy. And then, you know, some of the residents go on to say that because the radio show is there now, it has fueled their game day tablegates, which they have in their lobby. And, you know, every Monday is when they do the show on their fourth floor ballroom. And it's just packed every week. They had to start cutting people off that live in said community home. Because so many people started to show up because they heard how much of a party this was. People are showing up at the ballroom several hours ahead of time. This is awesome. I love this for Mike Gundy.
So I'm also thinking that the Kohl Center needs to learn a little bit about that so olds can get some energy there. Because that place is kind of like a retirement home at times, too. Got him.
Damn. Hunter's lashing out. All right. Rapid fire. Badgers win by how much?
20.
Packers win, yes or no?
Yes. Double digits.
Who wins the NL?
It's going to be the Mets just because that's how it goes.
Yeah, that is how it goes. I will take the Dodgers, though. I think we're going to get it. Who wins the AL? Got to be the Yankees, right?
Yeah. Like, at this point, like, why not? Just have the evil empires go at it.
I think, like, well, I will spin it. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. I'm so sick of the large markets and, you know, the teams that are always there. But one time we should get Aaron Judge versus Shohei Ohtani, right? Like, we need it once.
Yeah, and I'm happy to get to see Shohei Ohtani in the playoffs finally.
Yeah.
Like, facts. I want Mike Trout to leave the Angels so we can actually see him in the playoffs too.
It's fair.
Like, that will be fun, and he is incredible to see. I've seen him a couple of times now. Like, he is just incredible to watch play baseball. But, yeah, I guess, like, I'm okay with it every few years getting a New York-LA, like, World Series or NBA Finals. Like, that is fun, but I don't want it all the time.
You might get the Knicks in the Finals. I don't think you're getting either the Lakers or the Clippers, though, this year.
No, and that's why, like, give it, like, 7-8 years, and Bronny somehow becomes, like, a good role player for the Lakers, and they somehow get to the finals.
You know the Bucks season tips off in less than 3 weeks. Their preseason tips off tomorrow in Detroit.
Yeah. NHL starts Tuesday.
Oh, my goodness.
That's why I think that's part of why I'm not super sad. I get to watch Connor Bedard and the Blackhawks.
Yeah, you do. And the other thing to bring up, too, is despite the loss, October is debatably the best sports month.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, you're in the middle of both college and NFL football. You are in the playoffs, obviously, of MLB, and the NHL and NBA both start. They're all going at the same time, you know, here in the month of October, which is terrific.
The only month that comes close, I think, is May, because then you get the beginning of baseball season. You've got the Kentucky Derby, NBA playoffs. Like, May is the probably number two month.
I'm surprised by May. I was thinking more March, right? March Madness.
Yeah.
Baseball starts at the end of March. Obviously, the NBA, end of regular season, NHL, end of the regular season. March was the other one that came to mind.
Yeah, but, like, I just think because you don't get baseball until, like, that's a big part of it for me.
Because then you're
getting stuff every single day.
Did you see the graphic? There is a football game, either college or NFL, every day until the Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving.
Yep.
From this point forward, I think that just started on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
why doesn't the Mac just put a Wednesday game on there? Because then we'd get through that week, too.
That's true. Because there's a Black Friday game. Yeah, that's a good point. Badgers play on Black Friday this year. against Minnesota, which
that's
I don't
love.
It's
a busy weekend for me.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. Oh, man. Packers Thursday, Badgers Friday.
Oh, Wisconsin volleyball Wednesday and Saturday on
Oh,
that.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Yep. I get one day off.
Them. Yep. Just bookend them. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. That'll do it for us today. We're back with you Monday reacting to the Packers and Rams, Badgers and Purdue, and all of the in-betweens. Our friend Brad Nortman will join us again coming up on Monday, I think. I haven't asked him yet. I would assume he will have his monthly visit with us on
Monday. No, I was going to say, am I booking because we have the issues on Wednesday? No, or are you handling
know,
it?
I produce his show. I guess I could probably handle
okay.
it.
Okay.
But I've got to run to said show. Kyle Bruston, Nortman reacting to the Brewers loss and Packers Rams, or previewing Packers Rams, beginning in about 35 minutes. If you're watching with us live on the ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison YouTube channels, we'll be with you beginning at 2 o'clock. Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman, and myself with you until 5 o'clock on ESPN Wisconsin. Sad, sad day. But as Hunter beautifully put it, We will survive, we will advance, we will move on, and we will eventually see a championship won in the state of Wisconsin. But in the meantime, just more and more heartbreaking ways to fumble the bag. We will talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Enjoy it. Cheer loudly. Don't be too sad. We'll be okay. It's Mr. Relevant, presented by Door County Distillery. I'm Alex Drove. A very sad peace.